Chapter 2. Jason stared into the trunk of the Batmobile as Batman handed him things. Rebreather, a set of vials of fear toxin antidote, gloves, grapple, a handful of batarangs, a spare utility belt Jason promptly secured around his waist.
What, no gun?
Jason pretended to be shocked. I see extra scrim sticks and that stupid pole replacement uses. You don't have a pair of Glocks in there, do you? Something semi-automatic with decent stopping power. I'll even take a pair of snub-nosed 38s. To Jason's surprise, Batman pulled out a case and handed it to him. In it was a handgun.
Tranquilizer gun? Ugh, you do know how to take the fun out of things, Jason said, loading the pistol with two cartridges from the case before tossing the case into the car and tucking the gun in the back of his waist.
Strikes in the usual pouches?
Batman nodded.
I don't need to tell you. No, you don't, Jason said, cutting him off. I know the rules. Do I need to take a dose of this antidote before we go down?
I'm not certain how you would respond. It could be dangerous, given the drugs already in your system.
There was a tremor of worry in Batman's voice. And Jason had to remind himself that was most likely the fear toxin talking.
Fine. We'll save that as a last resort. Let's just get this over with, shall we? Batman lifted the massive manhole cover as if it were nothing, setting it aside before stepping down into the darkness. Jason waited until he couldn't see Batman anymore before he started down the ladder after him. Dick sat in the darkness, hands and feet bound, worrying. He couldn't think of anything else to call it. In fact, he worried about not knowing what to call what was happening to him, and worried about his worrying. "Stop it," he told himself, and for a few seconds he almost felt normal. Then the insistent voice in the back of his head would remind him of 100 small things he'd done or hadn't done, said or hadn't said. He hadn't said goodbye to Jason when he left. What if he didn't get the chance? What if he never saw him again? What if... Nightwing! It was Damian.
What? What's wrong? I can't tell if Drake... Red Robin is breathing.
Is he breathing?
You're closer. Can you tell?
He got hit in the head really hard.
Shouldn't he be conscious already? Is he breathing?
What if he's not breathing?
He is breathing, Dick said, his own heart pounding hard.
He hoped Tim was breathing. Why hadn't he checked earlier? He'd never forgive himself if...
Nightwing, Damian said again, and Dick focused on getting to Tim.
Dick's hands were tied behind his back. He had to kind of roll backwards so he could get a finger on Tim's wrist, which was bound behind his back.
His pulse is fine. He's going to wake up soon, Robin.
Again, Dick felt easier for a few seconds.
Of course Tim would be all right. It was a knock on the head. They'd all taken far worse in the past and survived. Tim hadn't been unconscious for long.
Dick let himself tip backward so his head and shoulders were resting on Tim's chest. He could feel the even rise and fall of Tim's breaths and took comfort from it.
Come over here,
Dick said, trusting Damian was tied in a similar manner. He heard him shuffling on his knees across the concrete floor and worried if the knee pads gave him enough protection.
Dick shook his head. This was ridiculous. Whatever Scarecrow had hit them with was totally different from anything they'd experienced before. Dick had been prepared for hallucinations, for seeing his parents falling over and over, for reliving the worst moments of his life, and none of that had happened. Instead, He'd found his heart racing over every stray thought, most of them starting with, what if? Batman had trained them all how to focus on what was important, what was necessary to survive. Idle thoughts were easily dismissed or repressed altogether in crisis situations. This shouldn't be happening. Except it was. And the only reasonable explanation Dick could come up with was that the new fear toxin concentrated on those types of small worries, pushing them to become something larger, more distracting, and ultimately incapacitating. Damien flopped down next to Dick, his head landing somewhere around Tim's thigh, and Dick suddenly worried that they might crush Tim. He started to move, took a deep breath, then lay back down. "We're not going to crush Red Robin," Dick said, horrified with himself for the absurdity of the thought.
"How did you know that was what I was thinking?" Damien demanded.
"Are you sure? I have really stupid shoulders and you're heavy."
"I am not heavy," Dick protested. But he had put on considerable muscle when he'd been Batman, so maybe he was heavier than he used to be.
But he still wasn't anywhere near what Bruce or Jason weighed. He was muscular and fit and... oh, for the love of God.
"Stop. Robin, stop it. Think about what you're saying. Does it make logical sense? You know there's no reason to worry."
Damien seemed to center himself, then growled.
"What's happening to us?"
A creepy cackle of laughter came at them out of the darkness. "Don't worry, boys. Scarecrow is here."
Jason followed Bruce through the dark tunnel, one hand on Batman's shoulder. The night vision lenses in the domino helped, but Jason could have done without seeing exactly how many rats were hanging out in the sewers. It was bad enough he could hear them skittering and squeaking, but every time he caught sight of their eyes reflecting back at him through the lenses, he felt a faint chill.
No, he really wasn't a fan of rats.
Jason and Batman followed the direction of the sewer for probably a mile before a light ahead caused their night vision to flare.
"Can you knock out those lights while I move ahead?"
Jason was already extracting a batarang from his pocket.
"Just like riding a bicycle."
Batman glanced over his shoulder at him.
"If you don't think you can do it, if you're not absolutely sure." Jason wanted to roll his eyes and make a sarcastic comment, neither of which would have been effective under the current circumstances, so he settled for squeezing Bruce's armor-clad shoulder in what he hoped was a reassuring gesture, and said,
"I can do it. Go on."
"I'll take Scarecrow and his men. You get to the boys."
Then Batman was moving, at one with the shadows along the wall. Jason knew he would be walking blind, eyes closed to minimize the effect on his night vision when the lights went out. Jason calculated the distance and angles in his head, the amount of spin he'd need to get both lights out with one throw, then prepped a second batarang just in case. He took a deep breath, steadied himself, and threw. Dick heard the whir of a thrown projectile a second before the lights went out in rapid succession. Batman. His night vision was useless at the moment, and he couldn't get a hand free to reset the lenses in the mask. He and Damien had been working at their knots, back to back, for what felt like a long time, with no success. They kept getting distracted by stupid, petty worries about whether they were doing things right, how Tim was doing, and what Scarecrow was going on about in his monologue. The sound of fists connecting with flesh and the dull thud of bodies hitting the floor were comforting. Dick took a deep breath and assured himself they were about to be rescued. Tim would be fine. There would be an antidote to this persistent thread of worry that kept interfering with his ability to do what he needed to do.
Suddenly, someone was beside him, and Dick immediately tensed, preparing to fight if he had to.
"Calm down, Big Bird," Jason's familiar voice said, practically in his ear.
And if Dick had his arms free, he would have wrapped his little brother in a ferocious hug.
"Let me get rid of these pesky ropes."
Dick could feel the telltale motion of a blade sawing through the tough rope. "I'm really glad to see you," he said. And Jason stopped cutting long enough to give his arm a quick squeeze.
"Is replacement okay?"
"I don't know," Dick said, straining to get a look at Tim, even though he knew he couldn't see him through the pitch blackness. "His pulse was okay, but I don't know how long it's been, and he still isn't conscious."
Tim groaned at that. "Yes, I am. I'm just not happy about it."
"And where's the kid?" Jason asked, still working on Dick's ropes. They had a thin steel cable through the middle, which was causing Jason considerable grief, even with the sharp edge of the batarang.
"What do you mean?" Dick asked, alarmed. "He was right here a minute ago."
Jason searched the darkness through his night vision lenses.
"Scarecrow's holding him, but he seems okay. Security for when Bats finishes with his lackeys, I suppose."
"We have to do something," Dick said, struggling to get his feet under him. Jason wrapped an arm around him and held him in place, even though Dick could hear the sharp intake of breath as Jason's ribs groaned in protest.
"Whoa, you're not untied yet. Stay put. I know right now you're worrying about every little thing, like whether you left your curling iron on or if your suit really does make your ass look big."
Dick couldn't help but laugh. Jason had always managed to cut through the bullshit, even when no one wanted to hear it. And he had a wicked sense of humor, even when he'd been a kid. Dick was sorry he hadn't spent more time with him then. He was going to make up for it now.
"But, see what I did there? Big but. Anyway, you need to listen to me. This new fear toxin is making all those little things seem huge right now. But they're not, and you know it. You just have to keep reminding yourself of that. Red Robin is fine."
"I wouldn't say fine, exactly," Tim said.
"Red Robin is fine," Jason repeated. "Robin is going to be fine. Batman is kicking ass and doesn't give a damn about taking names."
"What about you?" Dick asked, trying to focus.
"Me? Well, I got out of the hospital. With pants. I've got some pretty good drugs, and I was fourth on Bat's list of people he could trust. I think I've moved up a couple of spots. Take that, Flash."
The cable binding Dick's wrists finally snapped, and Jason handed him a batarang to cut his own feet loose, while Jason went to work on Tim's ropes.
"Here," Jason said, handing over a vial of the antidote to Dick. "It's not going to make it go away, but it might help a bit." Bats was still worrying about stuff, but seemed to catch himself doing it more often than not.
Dick nodded and swallowed the vial down, then helped Tim to a sitting position and made him swallow a vial himself. Then he flicked his lenses over to night vision and went back to work on the bindings around his ankles. In the darkness, he could see clearly now. Scarecrow pulled back into a safe corner, Damien held against him with a gloved hand covering his mouth, a syringe to his throat. God only knew what was in it. It could be more of the same or something 10 times worse. The dose could be fatal. What if...
Nightwing?
Jason nudged him gently, and Dick realized he'd stopped sawing at the cable.
"I'm okay," he said, applying himself to the task at hand, trying to keep his mind blank. "Keep talking. It's distracting. It helps."
Jason nodded, sawing away at Tim's ropes.
"Not to alarm you or anything, but do you see the rats?"
Dick looked into the darkness, caught the greenish glow of eyes staring back.
"A lot of eyes.
on pointy faces with sharp teeth, and they were moving closer. They're moving towards us. Yeah, that's what I thought. Jason doubled his effort to cut through the cable. Think Scarecrow's gone Pied Piper on us? It's possible, Dick said. I think we'd better get on our feet as soon as we can. No shit, Sherlock, Jason said. But it wasn't unkind, and he didn't pause in his fight to cut through Tim's bonds. I really don't like rats. Do you? Does anyone? No, Tim muttered from the floor. I don't want to get eaten by rats. You're not going to... Jason started. Finally! The ropes around Tim's feet fell away, and he jumped up, then almost immediately started to go down. Jason caught him, lowering him back to the floor with the murmured, Easy, kid. You've probably got a concussion. Wing, as soon as you're free, get to work on Red's hands. I'm going to see if I can do something about our rodent problem. Batman loved the darkness. Even as a kid, he'd never been afraid of it. It was simply part of the natural cycle of things. Day and night, light and dark, life and death. His father was a doctor, and things were explained as part of a larger picture. He was supposed to always keep that in mind, and not dwell on the small things. Right now, the small things were all Bruce had. He could feel every minute ache his body carried, every muscle that was overextended, the way his heart pounded in his ears like the echo of distant explosions. The antidote was helping. He knew it was. But all that meant was he wasn't completely overcome by the thoughts that plagued him. He still had to concentrate to pour his energy into activity rather than thought, and he was taking far more hits than he normally would in a match against petty thugs, even this many of them. He couldn't spare the time to check on Jason, had to trust that his second son was doing what he needed to free the others, instead of letting his temper get the best of him and going after Scarecrow without backup. While injured. Bruce should never have brought him here, should never have gotten Jason involved. And he'd put a weapon in his hands. A tranquilizer gun, sure, but still a gun. What kind of message was he sending? What had he done? The blow to Batman's sternum knocked him to his feet, even with the chest plate in place. Scarecrow's guys were using brass knuckles to give their punches more impact against the body armor. It was working. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see Jason kneeling in the center of the room, working on Tim's wrists. Dick had his hands free and was sawing away at the ties around his own ankles. And Damien was... Damn it. Damien was in Scarecrow's hands, and Bruce felt a knot of fear growing in his stomach. These were his children. What business did he have dragging them into this kind of life, putting them in danger over and over? Batman, down! Dick called suddenly, and Bruce instinctively dropped. The blade whirled harmlessly over his head, and he took advantage of his new position to sweep two of his opponents off their feet. He rolled back to standing, grabbed the staff when it dropped, Tim's staff, and decided he'd done his best to subdue these men without grave injuries. They were so hopped up on Scarecrow's chemicals, though, they wouldn't stay down. And Bruce was going to be forced to use strike techniques that would render the men unconscious. Blows like that could turn fatal easily. And there was a fine line between cracking a jaw or cracking a skull open. He didn't want any deaths on his conscience. It wasn't his place to be judge, jury, and executioner, and he believed in the system, even when he knew it was fatally flawed. It still had to be given the opportunity to work as it had been designed. He was down to about half as many opponents as he started against, but he felt no nearer to his goal, which was to get to his boys and get them safely out of there. He saw Jason stand up and yell for night vision off. Bruce counted to three in his head and blinked his eyes closed, switching lenses between one instant and the next. The room brightened with flares, giving him the advantage as Scarecrow's men floundered in the sudden blast of light. He wasn't alone in this. Every one of his children had been trained by him and by competent others, and he had to trust they would protect themselves and each other. His duty right now was to fight and win. He smiled at the men he faced, then beckoned them closer with his gauntlet. Jason could see that there was no longer any advantage to having night vision. Scarecrow was clearly enjoying watching the fight, and the rats weren't afraid of them in this kind of environment. This was their home turf down in the muck and the darkness. Time to change the odds. Night vision off! Jason shouted, then counted to three, hoping it was enough time for everyone, except Scarecrow and his goons, to switch to regular lenses. Then he tossed a handful of flares in a circle around them, the rats immediately shying away from the light, but it wouldn't keep them at bay for long, especially if they were hungry. From Scarecrow's corner there was clapping, and Jason turned to see Damien had been handed off to a lackey who looked entirely too much like a guy who shared DNA with the rats. His nose and chin were pointy, his face narrow, cheekbones so sharp he appeared emaciated. White wisps of hair clung to his round head, and his ears stuck out instead of lying flat. His eyes blinked rapidly, and in the low light seemed almost completely black. When he smiled, all Jason could see were sharp front teeth. Fuck, Scarecrow had gotten weird since he'd been gone. Look, Scarecrow, just let the kid go, Jason said. It never worked, but it was worth trying. At the very least, it bought time for Batman to deal with the rest of his 15 guys and get ready to make a move. If he'd been in peak condition, Jason would have already done something by now. But he knew his ribs made him a liability, and he didn't want to alert Scarecrow to that weakness unless there was no alternative.
I don't think I know you, Scarecrow said, staring at him across the circle of flames. It's not very polite to come into someone's lair without even introducing yourself. Rudeness is punished where I come from.
Yeah, didn't your grandma used to lock you in the attic for that?
Jason taunted.
Or was that your father? Oh, wait. He didn't love you enough to stick around. Yeah, that's right. You were a poor, scrawny nerd who loved books, but nobody loved you.
Insolent whelp! How dare you speak of that witch?
Scarecrow was shaking with rage, his hands rising. Jason could see he carried gas grenades.
Rebreathers!
Jason shouted, a second before the grenade burst beside him, green smoke blossoming upwards in an all-encompassing cloud. He shoved his rebreather over his mouth and nose. He hated the thing, but it was useful.
Gone,
Nightwing shouted. And shit, Jason wished he'd known that beforehand. He might have just exposed his brothers to something worse than they were already dealing with. He ran back to where Dick and Tim were coughing in the middle of the floor. Well, at least the rats had retreated when the grenade went off. How bad, Jason said through the mouthpiece, waving the green haze away and concentrating on Dick's eyes. The pupils seemed normal.
I don't feel any different, Dick said quietly, and Tim nodded his agreement. Maybe it was one of the formulae covered by the antidote. They usually weren't that lucky, but Jason would take the win. Dick was almost through the cable holding Tim's wrists. Bats seemed to have the upper hand in his fight, and there was only Damien left in imminent danger. Jason had to do something about that. He bent down and pressed the gun into Dick's hands, shaking his head at Dick's questioning gaze. He kept his voice barely above a whisper. You've got 2 shots loaded. Make them count. I'm going to try for the kid. Trust me, okay?
Who are you? Scarecrow was saying, staring at Jason through the cloud of dissipating gas. You're not any bird or bat I know, but there's something familiar about you.
Jason stepped forward. I'm hurt, Scarecrow, that you don't remember me. We had some fun times. Mostly you tying me up and using me to lure Batman to his death, but hey, we're both still around.
Boy Wonder?
Scarecrow seemed puzzled. The ratty little man had his arm around Damien's throat, a syringe at the ready.
Not the acrobat. Not the detective. No, you were the one the Joker took care of. He said he killed you. I'm quite sure of that.
It didn't stick.
Naughty, naughty.
Scarecrow's face took on a gruesome grin.
Someone's been playing in the Lazarus pits. I can see it on you now. The taint of it. The madness that rots the soul.
Don't listen to him, Dick murmured, standing up and looking for an angle. Tim was at his side, unsteady, but on his feet. Jason moved closer, hands out to indicate he wasn't carrying anything. You know what I remember most from hanging out together way back then? I remember what a coward you were, Crane. How a little dose of your own medicine had you curled up in a ball of crazy.
Clearly, you value this boy's life very little, Scarecrow said conversationally.
The tip of the syringe in Ratman's hand pressed against Damien's skin.
Do you wish to hear him scream? Children truly make the most delightful sounds when they're terrified.
No, Batman said, knocking out the last of his opponents, and everyone turned to look at him. Robin, drop, Jason shouted, taking 3 giant steps forward and diving for Damien as the boy let his dead weight and gravity pull him away from the rat-faced man's hold. Bruce saw his youngest dropping heavily to the floor, just before Jason's bulk slid protectively around him. At the same time Jason dived, Bruce saw Dick raise a handgun, take aim, and fire. He blinked, unable to believe what he was seeing, and for the second time in less than a minute, he found himself yelling, "No!" knowing it would have no effect on the events unfolding before his eyes. The first round plowed into Crane's chest, right over his heart, making the tall, gaunt figure fall backwards against the concrete wall. A second round slammed into the little rat-faced man, hitting him in the neck as he bent over where Jason had landed, shielding Robin with his broad shoulders. Batman tried to blink the nightmare image away, of Dick with a raised gun in his hand, shooting down 2 men in cold blood. Except there wasn't any blood. Why wasn't there any blood? Drink gun, Tim said, hobbling up beside Batman and shaking his arm. It was just a trank gun. Nobody's dead. Not even a little bit. Batman reached out and wrapped his arms around Tim, pulling the boy in hard against his chest and hanging on. One of the men on the floor lifted his head in a daze. Batman kicked him, and he dropped back to the ground, oblivious once more. "It's okay, Batman," Tim said, holding on in return. "We're all okay."
"Christ!" Jason yelped, as he felt the needle drag through his skin, then jab into his neck, even as Ratty slumped on top of him, and Jason couldn't shake him off without doing even more damage to his ribs. He was already struggling to catch his breath. He didn't have any choice but to stay there. Damien pulled awkwardly underneath him, and the creepy rat dude collapsed against his back. Scarecrow could no longer be seen, but Jason knew Dick had hit him dead on with a tranquilizer dart. Even if Scarecrow had slunk off into the sewer, he should be unconscious by now.
"You're crushing me," Damien complained. And Jason let his weight rest even more heavily on the kid, even though it was killing his ribs.
"Shut up, twerp. I just saved your life."
Dick was the first one to them, pushing the unconscious bulk of Scarecrow's lackey to the side and helping Jason to a sitting position, hands immediately reaching for Jason's damaged ribs.
"Can you breathe?"
"So far." Dick grabbed Damien as he tried to slip away and pulled the kid into a tight hug. Then he released Damien and put a hand around the back of Jason's neck, pulling their foreheads together.
"Don't do that again. You were right in my line of fire when you leapt. I could have shot you."
"The worst you would have done was shot me. Besides, I know which rookie cop had the highest marksmanship scores in Bloodhaven PD's history. I wasn't worried."
Dick pulled his hand away and looked at it. There was a streak of blood and something chemical smelling on it.
"Jay?"
Jason's eyes settled on Dick's hand.
"Oh. Did I mention Rat Dude kind of stuck me with the syringe he had to Damien's throat?"
"No, you didn't mention that," Dick said, the worry in his voice reaching DEFCON 5 levels.
Jason grinned stupidly at Dick's worried face and patted him on the cheek.
"Don't worry, bro. I'll be right as..."
Halfway through his thought, Jason lost consciousness and sprawled forward into Dick's arms.
"Batman!"
"Jason."
Jason was drifting in a haze. He'd been here before, many times recently, although at the moment recently stretched on into forever. It seemed as if he'd always been here, drifting between sleep and almost wakefulness, detached from his body in a way that told him he would regret inhabiting his physical self again. There would be pain there, considerable pain, and this was his mind protecting him from it. He understood a certain amount about that, although when he'd been 15 and bludgeoned by a crowbar, he wasn't sure his mind had been on his side. Or maybe there had simply been no way to distance himself from what was happening to him at the time. He had been dying, after all. And maybe the mind demanded awareness, an understanding that these were your last moments, all you would ever have. And maybe you should do something with those handful of breaths left to you.
"Jason, wake up."
Someone was holding his hand again. It was the first thing he realized after coming fully awake, and he couldn't help but smile as he let his eyes flutter open, expecting to see Dick beside him, Dick's hand clutching his. It wasn't Dick.
"Bruce?"
The word was barely a whisper, even though Jason was certain he'd intended it to be louder. His throat felt raw, as if it had been overused, which made no sense since he'd been asleep. "I'm right here," Bruce said, squeezing his hand, then calling for Alfred in the next breath.
The two of them helped him sit up and sip some ice water through a straw, and it felt so good on his parched throat. Jason was baffled. How long? It sounded like there was gravel in his throat.
About 12 days. He knew his eyes were wide with shock. How could he possibly have been out of it for 12 days? It was then he got his first good look around, and realized he was in a room at the manor. They hadn't taken him to a hospital. Bruce had taken him home, which probably meant there wasn't anything a regular hospital could have done for him.
My throat.
Bruce grimaced.
Your voice will come back. Don't strain yourself now. The fear toxin was extremely potent. You were screaming.
Jason thought about it. A dose that left him screaming and unconscious for almost 2 weeks would have killed Damien. He was suddenly grateful he didn't remember anything much after collapsing in the underground room in the sewers.
Scarecrow
disappeared. It was more important we get you an antidote than chase after him. As it was, Bruce said bitterly, none of the combinations we tried worked, and synthesizing a whole new antidote took time. Far too much time.
I don't remember.
Good. Jason woke at frequent intervals after that, as if the excess amount of sleep from the previous 12 days was being paid back with an equal amount of wakefulness. Usually when he woke, day or night, someone was there holding his hand. He came to expect the feeling of pressure, like a phantom limb belonging to someone else. More often than not, it was Dickie's cheerful face Jason woke up to, and sometimes wanted to punch just on principle. Nobody should seem that upbeat all the time.
Dickie Bird, Jason whispered, when he found Dick asleep on the bed beside him, still clutching his hand.
Wake up, pretty bird. People will talk.
Let them. Go back to sleep, Jay, was all Dick said, shifting closer, and Jason couldn't find it in himself to protest. Dick was warm and safe, and the bed was bigger than anything Jason had slept in for a long time. He left his hand in Dick's and let his eyes drift closed.
The first time Damien woke him, Jason almost had a heart attack. He sat up in bed so fast he could hear his ribs protest along with the springs.
What? What? I'm awake. What's happening?
You were... Damien stared at him, his olive skin strangely pale, and Jason knew from the tingling in his cheek that Damien had hit him to wake him up.
Did you hit me?
Damien bit his lip and looked vaguely embarrassed, but he nodded sullenly. You were screaming again. It had been a week of relatively quiet nights, he'd been told. Jason didn't remember the worst of the toxin's effects, which seemed like a substantial flaw, unless it was meant to traumatize the people who were looking after the afflicted, in which case it worked perfectly. Jason wasn't sure he'd ever get used to the idea of waking out of a deep sleep, no recollection of what he'd been dreaming, and seeing Bruce or Dick or one of the others, pale-faced and sweating beside the bed, having spent the last few minutes trying to wake him from whatever hell they imagined he was facing. He never remembered.
Sorry, Jason said.
He knew the screaming upset everyone, but there wasn't much he could do about it. He was just grateful he didn't remember whatever brought the reaction on. He'd had enough of those nights early on, after he'd clawed his way out of his grave. And he was only too happy to forget. Tim always came when he was awake,
and Jason appreciated the fact. Tim brought books, and even though Jason was alert enough to read on his own, there was something soothing about being read to, and Tim seemed to know exactly what books had been Jason's favorites growing up.
"Did Alfred spill all my secrets?" Jason asked one day. "Did you hack the Gotham Public Library's record system to figure out my favorites?"
Tim shook his head, as if the answer should have been obvious. "You do realize they kept everything, right? All your stuff? For the longest time, they didn't even touch the room, but eventually Alfred put things in storage."
He hadn't known. Although thinking about it, he supposed he should have.
The copy of Fahrenheit 451 Tim had been reading wasn't just the same edition as the one Jason remembered owning. It was the same damn book. Jason knew now if he looked inside the cover, he'd find his own childish scrawl spelling out Jason Peter Todd. Bruce had immortalized him with that glass case memorial downstairs. Why shouldn't he have done the same with Jason's childhood bedroom? At least they hadn't made it his sick room.
"Jesus," Jason said. "This must have been one hell of a cheery place back then. No wonder you wanted in on the Robin gig."
"Batman needed a Robin," Tim said simply, as he always did when it came up, and then picked up the book and started reading aloud again. Jason accepted it for what it was, an offer of peace between them, and decided he liked Tim for all the ways he wasn't like either Jason or Dick. He tried not to think about how Tim shared many of Bruce's best qualities, and how it had been Bruce who read to him when he'd been a kid and too sick with the flu to hold the book himself. In spite of himself, as he grew to like Tim more, Jason found his desire to fight with Bruce diminished, his hate less virulent, and his desire for connection became a tangible thing. He had no family, and the one he'd had to start with hadn't been the kind they wrote happy stories about. The closest to a real family he was ever going to have was with Bruce and the others, but Jason was afraid of how fragile this peace between them was, how one mistake on his part could easily send him back in jail, or Arkham, or worse. He wasn't sure he had the strength to endure rejection like that again.
"People think someone drove the Red Hood out of town," Damien said out of the blue one day.
He was sitting on the edge of Jason's bed, doing math problems from school, even though he could probably do advanced-level calculus without too much effort. School had apparently been one of those non-negotiable things, and Jason admired Bruce for trying to give the kid some kind of normality in a life that was anything but normal.
"Someone like who?" Jason asked.
His voice was back to its usual timbre. His ribs were basically healed, and he'd been allowed moderate workouts for about a week. It was time for him to go home and get his life on track.
"Batman, probably. Or somebody like Black Mask."
"Oh, please," Jason scoffed.
"Black Mask couldn't drive me out of town if he had a car and a roadmap."
Damien snorted.
Jason liked that about the kid. All of Jason's jokes were suddenly new again, and Damien was a strangely appreciative audience.
While Jason was wondering what other jokes he could wow the kid with, he found himself blindsided with one of Damien's rare hugs, which were usually reserved for Grayson.
"Hey, what's that for?"
"You saved my life. I didn't have a chance to say thank you before."
"All our lives," Dick said, pushing the heavy wooden door open and entering the room. He was trailed by Tim.
"Does that mean we all have to hug him?" Tim asked, as if he already knew the answer.
"Yup," Dick grinned like an idiot, then launched himself forward, somersaulting onto the bed and crashing into Jason.
"Oh, shit, my ribs, you idiot!"
Jason yelped, and suddenly Dick was dead serious. He had a hand on Jason's ribs in an instant, checking for new injuries.
Where does it hurt, little wing?
Why, you want to kiss it better? Jason laughed and easily blocked the half-hearted punch Dick threw at him, but was less successful evading Dick's tickling fingers.
Okay, stop. I give up. Uncle.
Jason gasped breathlessly. You're an asshole, Dick said, punching Jason in the shoulder this time.
I thought I hurt you.
You always hurt the ones you love. It slipped out as a joke, but Dick must have caught something in Jason's face, because he turned serious when he said, Of course we love you. You're our brother. You know that, don't you? Jason didn't know what to say to that, and the longer he paused, the more he felt three pairs of blue eyes staring at him.
Jason, you know your family, right? The last few months haven't proven that to you?
Jason swallowed hard, and he looked away. It's been swell, but it's time to get back to reality. I need to go home and for things to get back to normal.
And what's normal mean? Tim asked. You go back to being a douchebag and won't talk to us and won't let us help?
Jason turned and stared at Tim, who was red-faced and angry. It wasn't something Jason had come to expect from Tim.
No, he said. I can't go back to the way things were, but you guys have to understand, it isn't the same for me. It's complicated.
It doesn't have to be, Bruce said from the doorway. And Jason dropped his head into his hands. This was not the way he imagined leaving the manor.
I know you're still angry with me about certain things, and maybe we'll never be able to resolve that. But it doesn't mean you're not part of this family. You're welcome here anytime, Jason, and your brothers want you to be here.
What about you? Jason couldn't help but ask. Wouldn't you rather I was behind bars where I can't hurt anyone, can't kill anyone?
You haven't killed anyone in over a year, as far as I know. I'm aware of the effort you've been making.
So I get a gold star and an invitation to Sunday dinner?
Tim made a frustrated sound.
Ugh, can't you ditch the sarcasm and just accept you're part of this family? We need you. All of us. Nobody's much good at saying that sort of stuff except maybe Dick, but it doesn't make it less true, and you know that. What do we have to do to prove it to you?
You don't have to do anything, Jason said, because he didn't have an answer for Tim.
Oh, bullshit, Tim said, in a rare outburst. You're waiting for us to let you down, for us to turn around and sell you out, to say we don't want you around because you're not good enough to be one of us, and that's bull. You were Robin. That makes you part of this, whether you still believe in us or not, and we don't give up on family.
Bruce put a big hand on Tim's shoulder, and Jason saw the stop reflex kick in. Robin conditioning at its most basic.
It's been a long few weeks for everyone, Bruce said. Let's give Jason some time to adjust to everything he's had to deal with, okay? The invitation to be part of this family isn't a limited time offer. When Jason's ready, he knows where we are.
Bruce took Tim by the shoulders and steered him out of the room, Damien following close behind. Dick gave Jason a rueful smile, then headed for the door.
Dick?
Dick stopped and crossed to the edge of the bed.
I'm not saying no.
I know, Jay.
I just need some time to... it's been a long time, you know?
Dick nodded and sat down. You don't have to explain yourself. You're entitled to take whatever time you need. Bruce gets it, probably more than anyone. I wasn't expecting Tim to be the problem. You have to remember, Tim grew up when you were Robin. He watched you, admired you, and when you died, he's the one who figured out what had happened. He's the one who saw Batman going off the rails and tried to do something. Tim took his role very seriously because he looked up to you, Jason. His opinion's been going downhill since he met me, I would imagine. Don't do that, Dick said. Don't act like you're this terrible guy who... I'm no angel. You know I've... I know we've all done things we regret, but you're my brother, Jay. That hasn't changed. Jason laughed. Yeah? I can remember when you couldn't stand me. When you thought I was some loudmouth street punk trespassing on your daddy issues. Dick stared back at him, and Jason felt himself burn red. I'm sorry, I didn't mean... Yes, you did, Dick said, heading for the door. You're right. It's probably time for you to go home. Be seeing you. Dick. He didn't turn around as he left, just closed the door behind him.
Fuck,
Jason said, dragging a hand through his hair. He needed to get away from here and have some time to put things in perspective. Well, no time like the present. He found his clothes hanging in the closet, neatly pressed. He dressed, wrote a quick note, and slipped out the window into the night. He'd walk to the main road. The fresh air would do him good. And then hitch a ride or use his phone to call a cab. The sooner he was on his own, the better. Jason wasn't expecting what was waiting for him at his apartment. When he opened the door, the first thing he saw was a hand-lettered sign that said, "Welcome home, Jason." It made him feel like even more of a heel, because it was clear Dick and the other two had done this days ago in anticipation of him being well enough to return. His apartment was spotless, which it shouldn't have been, considering the last memory Jason had of it was being wheeled out on a gurney. Someone had put fresh sheets on his bed, fresh towels in the bathroom, and there were groceries in the refrigerator that consisted of more than frozen pizzas and expired yogurt. Jason looked sadly at the six-pack of Dick's favorite beer, Tim's energy drinks, and Damien's stupid European fizzy water. They were trying to tell him they wanted to be part of his life, and what had he done? Bailed on them as soon as he got a little twitchy and hurt Dick's feelings in the bargain. This was why Jason wasn't keen on the one big happy family thing. He sucked at it. He crawled into bed and lay there for a long time, not sleeping. He had to fix things. He just wasn't sure how. Three nights later, Jason found himself on a rooftop overlooking the financial district. It wasn't his usual haunt. He wasn't even sure why he'd ended up there until he heard a pair of boots land lightly behind him. "You're an asshole," Tim said to him, coming to stand beside Jason on the edge of the roof. "You have all these people who want to help you, who want to be part of your life, and you constantly push them away and treat them like shit." Jason supposed maybe he deserved that, but it still wasn't easy to hear. "Do unto others before they can do unto you." Tim flipped the lenses in his cowl so his eyes showed. "Are you serious?" "It's kind of the first thing I learned as a kid, Red. If you're reacting, you're already too late. Strike first, strike fast, and strike hard." Jason looked at him. He'd chosen the domino instead of his full red hood. He dropped his lenses. "You know where I grew up. I'm a suspicious bastard. Why does this still surprise you?" Tim shook his head. "I don't know. I guess I figured you would have gotten it through your brain by now that we're not the people you need to fight." "Slow learner,"
Apparently.
They stood there, listening to the sounds of the city below them. Finally, Jason said,
"Not much happening down there. What say we call it a night?"
"And do what?" Tim asked carefully.
"I've got these vile energy drinks I'd like to get rid of, and I could go for a pizza. I hate to eat alone,"
Jason said, honestly.
"You sure? I mean, I wouldn't want you to feel obligated. It's not like we're family or anything."
"Tim, take the win, okay?" He grinned.
"Okay. But you better make up with Nightwing soon. He's driving us all crazy."
"You must repair this rift with Grayson," Damien said, swinging down onto the rooftop beside Jason.
He was wearing his Robin outfit,
but this time Jason could see the silhouette of Batman a couple of rooftops over. He nodded in acknowledgement.
"He won't stand still long enough for me to talk to him, kid,"
Jason explained.
"Believe me, I've tried. So far, we've ended up playing tag across the entire west side of the city and getting caught in the middle of a gang war down on the docks. By the time the instigators are put down, he disappeared."
"He'll be at the corner of 15th and Broad in about 10 minutes.
"How do you know that?"
"Because that's where Red Robin's reporting you're in trouble." Jason blinked and shook his head.
"That isn't a good idea."
"Too late. I suggest you get going. You should be able to beat him there by a few minutes. You'll have time to work on your apology."
Jason grinned. "You're pretty bossy for a Robin, you know."
"I'm a better kind of Robin."
Jason laughed and caught Damien in a hug. "Thanks, kid. You're all right for a little brother."
Damien looked pleased, then rolled his eyes in exasperation. "All will be for naught if Nightwing arrives and you're not there. Go!" Jason gave the kid a quick hair ruffle, then leapt over the side of the roof, launching his grapple at the last second. The feel of flying through the air, tethered only by a slim cord of wire, never got old.
Jason was winded when he hit the rooftop at 15th and Broad. He'd had to really push himself, but he'd beaten Nightwing there. Of course, now his recently healed body was protesting, so that when Dick did touch down on the roof, Jason was sitting on the ground trying to catch his breath. Dick was at his side in an instant.
"What happened? Are you hurt?" Hands swept over Jason's chest and ribs, checking for obvious damage. He waved Dick off, shaking his head.
"Just out of breath."
Dick sat back on his heels and eyed Jason suspiciously. "You weren't really in trouble, were you?"
"No, but..."
Jason reached out and grasped Dick's arm in both of his hands.
"Please don't go. I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry for what I said to you."
"Fine," Dick said. "You've apologized. Now let me go. There's work to be done."
"No."
Dick's fist clenched, and Jason worried for a moment that he was about to get slugged.
"Let me go. Not until you listen to me. You want us to be family. You want it so desperately you can taste it, but I'm sorry. You've got to take the bad with the good. Sometimes I'm going to be an asshole. Sometimes I'm going to freak out because I never had anybody who cared enough growing up, and now I've got you, who cares too much, and it scares the hell out of me."
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"It means I've been chasing you around the city for a week, watching you save everyone you can find. You're driving yourself to exhaustion, and it's because you're mad at me, and you're mad at yourself."
"Don't flatter yourself, Hood. It's got nothing to do with... You couldn't have done anything to save me, Dick. You weren't even on the planet at the time." Jason shook Dick by the shoulders.
I never blamed you for any of that, and I forgave you for not wanting a brother under the circumstances. I never said, no wonder you hated me. He kicked you out, and then I showed up and stepped into your life, your costume, your place. I know how that feels now, and it sucks.
It wasn't your fault either, Dick said, shoulders softening, his whole posture becoming looser and more malleable.
It's not as if you went looking to be Robin. And then I got myself killed.
Dick shook his head, his mouth turning downward.
I couldn't believe it when Alfred told me. It had been 2 months already, and no one told me. I felt like I'd let you down. I could have helped, could have been a mentor, a big brother, but I was too angry and too selfish to think about what you might be going through. I'm sorry I wasn't there for you.
Jason pulled Dick into a fierce hug and held on, feeling the same kind of power in Dick's arms as they wrapped around his shoulders.
I don't want to fight with you. I just want my brother back.
You can't get rid of me, little wing, Dick said. Not that easily.
I really am sorry.
Me too.
Do you think we could maybe get off this rooftop and go somewhere else? I don't think I can deal with being mocked by Penguin for getting caught hugging. I've got that crap beer you like at my place.
Is that so?
Yeah, some little birds left in my refrigerator.
By the time they got to Jason's apartment, the window was already open for them.
Pizza should be here any minute, Tim said breezily, grabbing another can of Red Bull from the fridge.
Damien sipped bottled water and contemplated the crappy Netflix selections.
Did you really watch The Notebook, Todd? That seems self-destructive, even for you.
Don't judge, Brett. Jason peeled off his domino and his heavy motorcycle jacket, then headed to the bedroom to change.
There was pizza and beer, an awful zombie movie and worse jokes, mostly made by Jason because if you've died and come back, you've got to be able to laugh at yourself at least a little.
Batman could see the four of them crammed onto Jason's old 1950s-style couch, jostling for space and tossing drinks and remotes back and forth like grenades. His boys were all together, and they were safe. They would look after one another. Of that, he was certain. As he gazed over the city, he felt a sense of peace settling deep in his soul, like an anchor. Things would be all right. The end.
Into the night for once, we're the only ones left. I bet you even know where we could go.
Reader's notes. So, a couple notes about the style of this pamphlet. I have been not quite the death flu, but kind of that coughing where it sounds to the outside perspective like your intestines are going to come up along with your phlegm. Yeah, that's been me. And I am a bit scratchy. I don't know if you noticed over the last 2 hours, but basically my thought process was, I feel like I'm dying. Jason felt like he was dying in that fic. I sound like I'm dying.
That's the best way to voice Jason's hurt. And then I did this puppet because what better way to make use of your semi-laryngitis than hurt comfort of the Bat Fam variety? I've been on such a Bat Fam kick lately. I don't know. I guess I'm more invested in the sidekicks than I am in the, you know, the big five. But these boys. And Steph, too. Steph is great. I'm sorry she wasn't quite so big a character in this story. I imagine she's just rolling her eyes at everything because these people are such idiots. But Jason Todd. Jason Todd wears a mask under his other mask, and that tells you what kind of level of therapy he needs, okay? He wears a mask underneath his mask. Boys. Yeah, so I hope you enjoyed this found family finding their way back to each other. Forgiveness and feelings, and I hope that these boys gave you just as much of an emotional punch in the heart as they gave me. And thank you to Lisa McBain for having blanket permission to podfuck. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.